This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The 2018 midterm elections could be an indication of a big shift underway in American politics. The turn to the left was driven by a number of factors, including a surge in participation among Latinx voters. By some estimates, early voting was up 174% among the Latinx population compared to the 2014 midterms. So what's behind the increased turnout, and will the trend continue? Bettina Kataya Wilkinson is a professor of politics and international affairs at Wake Forest University. She studies race, ethnicity, and the Latinx vote, and she joins us now. Bettina, welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you for having me.
So I've been blithely throwing around this term Latinx vote because I wanted to get to you quickly. But really, what are we talking about here? It's not a monolith, right?
Right. So the Latino, I use, by the way, the term Latinx, Latino, Latina interchangeably. It includes a population of primarily an immigrant-affiliated population in the United States that makes up about 17-18% of the U.S. population, and it's a growing electorate here in the state of North Carolina. We've seen more and more Latinos actually turn out in these last few years and the last election, as you mentioned, given the fact that many are now eligible to vote as they're turning 18 and they're registering to vote, and then also because we have more and more who are naturalizing and becoming citizens, so they're eligible to vote.
What do we know about turnout, overall turnout? We talked about early voting numbers being up significantly, but in terms of percentage of the population, of the voting eligible population in the Latinx population, how did that compare? Do we have those numbers yet? How that compared with the general population in terms of turnout and the extent to which the Latinx population compared with the general population?
Sure. So I don't have those specific numbers, but I can tell you, in 2016, for instance, the share, when comparing, let's say, to the early 2000s numbers to 2016, the share of the Latino registered voters in North Carolina increased by 2%, so doubled in size, actually, and more. Mm-hmm. And we've seen the great number of Latinos being mobilized and, you know, increasing their numbers to vote because of the fact that they've been mobilized by TV ads, digital ads, get out the vote initiatives throughout the state of North Carolina, and then at the national level. We know that $21 million at least was spent by the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, to actually mobilize the Latino electorate throughout the country.
Is there a trend in terms of how Latinos vote in this country?
So in general, they've leaned to the left, leaned Democrat. But it's not a sure thing, though, that Latinos will vote to the Democrat. We know, for instance, that in 2016, Latinos at the national level voted overwhelmingly in favor of Clinton, about 82%. And then also in the same for North Carolina Latinos. And in 2018, again, overwhelmingly about 74% in favor of Democratic House and Senate representatives. And that is similar as well in North Carolina. But it's not a sure thing that they are going to be voting Democrat in the next few years, given the fact that some Latino decisions poll data reveals, this conducted in 2016, that 41% of North Carolina Latinos, and this is somewhat similar to those at the national level, would be likely to vote for Republican candidates if they were to pass comprehensive immigration reform with a path to citizenship for unauthorized immigrants. Immigration is a huge concern for the Latino electorate, and they want to support candidates and will support candidates that are speaking to the issues that are of most concern to them, with immigration being a big one of them.
Well, let's talk some more about these issues, because you mentioned the fact that there were get out the vote efforts made and sort of public service announcements about the importance of voting. But generally speaking, I think we know that people vote when there's an issue that's important to them. You said immigration is one. What are some of the other issues that drive voting in the Latino population?
Other issues are healthcare access and the economy, improving the economy and jobs. A latest poll reveals that a top issue for Latinos is improving the economy. 31% of Latinos voted that as the number one top issue. And then when it comes to healthcare access, 31% said that that was a top issue. But coming in third was immigration reform and DACA, which is at 27%.
You mentioned the fact that there's not a sure thing, that neither party should be too comfortable or too assured that they have the Latino vote. Lean Democrat at the moment. The Pew Research Center, in fact, released key takeaways on the Latinx population in the 2018 midterms. 9 U.S. House districts where the Latinx population makes up at least 10% of voters changed parties from Republican to Democrat in the last cycle. So that
right.
suggests, first of all, dynamics. In other words, nobody's locked into a particular party. They changed from Republican to Democrat. Let's talk about what happened there. What do you think is responsible for that percentage shift from Republican to Democrat in the last cycle?
So several things. First of all, mobilization efforts by the Democratic Party, Democratic candidates. As I mentioned before, the DCCC spent at least $21 million on mobilization efforts, you know, with TV ads as well as mobilization, get out the vote campaigns on the ground. But then we also have just Democratic candidates going, knocking on doors and reaching out to individuals and getting a sense of what their concerns are, and then, you know, pushing for those specific policy stances that are of concern to them. The second thing would be the anti-immigration rhetoric that is presented by our president, Donald Trump, as well as some Republican candidates and Republican legislators. That definitely hurts Republicans' likelihood to continue to gain the favor of Latinos, given that Latinos are if not immigrants, an immigrant group. Their parents and grandparents are immigrants. In that sense, this rhetoric negatively offends them and upsets them, increasing the likelihood that they would turn out to vote, but not in favor of the Republican candidates and Republicans in general.
We might take that for granted, but it really shouldn't be. There's a way in which you're talking about eligible voters. So these are citizens of the United States now. And the
right.
rhetoric, of course, is
right.
aimed at those who are not citizens. And there's a way in which people, you know, we've known historically, people can sort of pull up the ladder, look at those who are not, you know, have their status, and try to prove to the dominant population that we're one of you. You're saying that doesn't necessarily happen when it comes to this kind of rhetoric.
So the rhetoric now is more anti-immigrant than it was in the past. And so individuals who are immigrants or are somewhat affiliated with an immigrant population are now developing this minority status, this sense of, you know, consciousness that we are a group that is being retaliated against and that is being negatively, affected with this border wall proposal, as well as this, you know, anti-Latino rhetoric used. One thing I would want to say, and this was interesting, several Florida races actually went from a Republican in power to a Democrat in power. And it's important to recognize that the Cuban population among the Latino electorate is probably the most conservative and has voted for Republican candidates in the past. But actually, in predominantly Cuban areas in many parts of Florida, actually Democratic candidates won. Hmm. And that is interesting to note. And we've seen actually now more and more younger Cubans actually voting in favor of Democratic candidates. So even the national origin group Cubans who have tended to vote Republican now are voting more for Democratic candidates. And I would say that the anti-immigrant rhetoric affects it. And also it's important to note that now we do not have the wet foot, dry foot policy that we used to have, where Cubans who made it to the United States were then, if they made it here, they were be able to be put on a path to permanent residency. That is no longer the case. That was taken away in 2017 by President Barack Obama. And so now they also, Cubans can also be considered undocumented, unauthorized. And so then this anti-immigrant rhetoric, anti-illegal alien rhetoric can affect them in ways that it hasn't in the past.
Well, this raises the question about whether countries country of origin makes a difference in terms of your political affiliation or the way you lean. Does that make much of a difference?
It has in the past, but now I would say not so much, and in the future probably not as much, in the sense that anti-immigrant rhetoric greatly affects individuals and mobilizes individuals, gets them to turn out to vote in favor of candidates that actually are pushing for what they are really caring about, which is bipartisanship, comprehensive immigration reform. And so another major concern of the Latino population is improving wages and lowering the cost of health care. Actually, a 2018 Latino Decisions Questions was asked, you know, when Latinos are asked, when they were asked if bipartisanship and bipartisan immigration reform, improving wages and lowering the cost of health care, you know, was actually, you know, encouraged by and pushed for by candidates, would this give you a reason to turn out to vote? 88% of U.S. Latinos said yes. And so, you know, there you have it. Those are big issues that are of concern to Latinos. And those would be, you know, issues that would give them a reason to vote and more than likely give them a reason to vote in favor of the candidates that push for those specific policy stances.
Is there any difference regionally in terms of the way Latinos vote turnout in the United States, in this country? Do you see regional differences?
We do see some regional differences based on the number of foreign-born versus native-born Latinos. There are some differences in terms of maybe, you know, in the western area parts of the country, we have Latinos being more liberal than those in the south. But I would say that those differences, honestly, are not as stark as they used to be, given the fact that I would say primarily the mobilization efforts by the Democratic Party throughout the country has been strong in many battleground areas and many areas that did not have a lot of mobilization efforts in the past. Those are stronger and those are mobilizing individuals. And then also the fact that anti-immigration rhetoric by, you know, President Donald Trump, as well as by some Republican legislators, are bringing people together and getting them to actually, you know, vote more favorably towards Democrats. But again, I want to emphasize the fact that immigration is a key issue to the Latino electorate. And that, I think, has the potential to sway the vote based on whether certain Republican or Democratic legislators actually push for comprehensive reform with a path to citizenship for unauthorized immigrants.
You've analyzed Latino newspapers here in North Carolina. What did you find?
So we've done some content analysis of Latino newspapers to examine, you know, what they are talking about, what they're examining. This is in line with some research on Latinos' experiences and views toward the criminal justice system and law enforcement. And in general, the North Carolina newspapers that are geared toward and focus on the Latino population are greatly concerned about immigration. It's all about immigration, all about ICE, what's going on. To an extent, you know, it sheds light on the amount of fear and frustration and just basic, you know, concerns that Latinos are having in this state, given the fact that we have now secure communities and, you know, with local law enforcement working with immigration and customs enforcement and deporting individuals. And we've had here in the state of North Carolina many sheriffs saying, oh, no, we are not deporting individuals, when actually, yes, they are working with ICE and they are deporting individuals.
You did research recently on Latinos and their experience with law enforcement. And this is interesting because you've struggled, you say, to get Latino people to meet with you. And that's different than in the past. Tell us more about that.
Yes. And so I'm a light-skinned Latina. I don't think that I'm very scary looking, but I try to reach out and you know, get a sense of what Latinos think about law enforcement here in an area that is an emerging Latino area. Winston-Salem, by the way, is a city that has one of the largest Latino populations. Winston-Salem is in Forsyth County with a significant number of Latinos. But of course, also Charlotte and Durham have a significant number as well. And here we have a large foreign-born Latino population. So we have immigrants. Some are documented, some are undocumented, and many of them, given the anti-immigrant rhetoric that they've been hearing and, you know, the experiences that they've been having with the police or hearing about their friends' experiences with the police, have greatly increased their fear of the police and their desire to go out in the community and do basic things as groceries. And so actually getting them to talk to me was quite difficult. But I learned some actually very interesting things from my interviews of them. A few things that I learned, for instance, were that some Latinos have contact with the police and some do not. But those who have contact with the police, many of those experiences are negative. Latinos feel that they are racially profiled by the police, that their physical appearance increases the likelihood that they are stopped by the police, that the police don't make too much effort to communicate with Latinos, especially if the officer does not speak Spanish and they're a native Spanish speaker and they do not speak much English. Police also do not always come when they are called, or when they come, they are very late, making them feel like they are not a top priority for them. And then some officers, they would say, discriminate against Latinos just because of what they look like. And that negatively affects their trust in the law enforcement and their likelihood to actually call them again in the future.
Also, there were some differences in terms of how Latinos would react to a police officer who was of different ethnicities based on whether they had citizenship or not, right?
Yeah, so this was interesting to me. You know, we know a lot about African Americans' experiences with law enforcement and the criminal justice system, but we don't know very much about Latinos' experiences. And what I found is that among foreign-born, among immigrant Latinos, and especially those who came out who said that they did not have papers, they actually felt that their experiences with a Latino police officer were more negative than a white or African-American police officer. So a general question that I asked was, you know, do you think that the race of an officer affects how they respond to you, how they act? And many of them said, yes, definitely. We Latinos would think that having a Latino officer actually would be worse for us than having a white or black officer. And I said, well, why is that? I mean, because again, you know, research says, based on what we know about African-Americans, having an African-American officer would, you know, actually improve individuals, African-Americans' experiences with the police, possibly. And so they said, no, actually, we feel that a Latino officer looks down upon us and makes us feel bad for not speaking English. Mm. And so therefore, I would prefer to have a white officer or a black officer than a Latino officer. But again, I want to make sure that I emphasize that this is among foreign-born immigrant Latinos, right, who are Spanish dominant, and among native-born Latinos, so Latinos who are born in the United States who are English dominant, though, they did say that actually having a Latino police officer was a plus, and they did actually have positive experiences with them because they feel like Latino officers are Latino like them, and they have similar experiences and understand them better. So that was interesting.
Briefly, I know you've done some research on the relationship between African-Americans and the Latinx population. What are some of the big findings there?
Some research that I examined was to what extent, you know, African-Americans would view Latinos or Latinx individuals as allies. And I found that when African-Americans feel threatened economically and politically, they're less likely to regard Latinos as allies. And with focus groups that I conducted in New Orleans and a few here in North Carolina, I found that in general, African-Americans don't regard Latinos as individuals that they don't want to have anything to do with and as foes, as rivals. But because of the fact that they find themselves in direct competition with Latinos for jobs, for instance, for access to various resources, they then, when they feel that threat, they're more likely to view them as rivals.
Bettina Cotillo-Wilkinson is a professor of politics and international affairs at Wake Forest University. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You can find links to her research at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, his story about the South has turned into an Emmy-winning miniseries, and now Alan Gurganis is honored by Duke University. We'll talk about Alan Gurganis, the artist and the writer, when we return. Stay tuned.